Angela. Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a blessed afternoon. Well, not really. I tried to catch up on a lot of things, mm-hmm. on the entrance tool. Actually, I wanted to ask you that I may need the form with you. I'm really not comfortable approaching Tom with this.
Okay.
And Cheryl Fuller asked me to develop a course for her graduate program. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like gets me a little bit over.
Okay. But it's not over 3 nights. It's only over 2 nights.
No.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you leave it with me, and I'll talk to Liz about it.
Thank you.
It shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it to him before. I had a phone with him before, mm-hmm. and I never got it back, so.
Oh, okay.
So like I don't want to approach
go
it
through
again.
That again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be sure to take care of this.
I appreciate it, thank you.
Okay, so let's. How are things going?
It helps that I don't have to be in the office right now.
Yeah.
So I'm avoiding that, especially after the
phone. Where is your office in relationship to where Tom will be?
I have no idea where he will be.
Okay.
I have not been notified about anything. So like my office is, there are two entrances.
Mm-hmm.
The one closer to the restrooms,
mm-hmm.
is the one, if you take the one in, mm-hmm. and the first office to the right.
Okay.
In that corner office.
He would have to be placed in an office that didn't have a faculty member in it presently. Is there an office that has this being used for storage?
I noticed,
or
I think the one it's one office that is the storage. It has, I think, a printer in it,
mm-hmm.
and the fax machine and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one closest to the chair's office. The chair's office on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another storage office, which is now used by, I think, D2L, by,
mm-hmm.
so by online advisors.
Mm-hmm.
So this is new. There are two offices that also belong to us, that Julie Fairfield and Amy Nemetz,
mm-hmm.
and then business took them.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly, they had lecturers, business lecturers,
mm-hmm.
in it, so I don't know what the deal was then.
Okay.
But I wanted to check anyway. I kind of requested a different office.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing is what, you know, like at first I thought, well, you know, I mean, I noticed right from the beginning that, you know, as coming in, you know,
mm-hmm.
that I had better males who were
mm-hmm.
below me, and
mm-hmm.
they all had better offices.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, like, well, maybe, you know, like later on, well,
mm-hmm.
we shift or never happened. And I asked one time, and Tom was very negative about it. Then later on, my office, the lighting was very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they had somebody come in and check, and the candles, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is what they use for measurements, were like 26 and 32
mm-hmm.
is required. I had a very, very bad eye infection
mm-hmm.
last year that took for 6 months to. I mean, I had
mm-hmm.
red eyes all the time. I mean, you can ask our secretary, I looked at. I mean, all the students, everybody had to tell, it's not pink eye, it's not
mm-hmm.
anything, it's not contagious, it was an inflammation of the eye. That then spread, I had it on both sides, but in the right one especially,
mm-hmm.
and I've been on prescription medication for a long
mm-hmm.
time. And the doctor said that better lighting and natural
mm-hmm.
lighting would be good. I got a doctor's note
mm-hmm.
and gave it to Tom, and he just totally ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, it's just one thing after the other,
mm-hmm.
and it always was. I mean, like, Cheryl Fuller always pointed out to me, and then Amy Nemitz too, but, you know, like, I did not want to take
mm-hmm.
somebody else's word. But her understanding was it was a very sexist department.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't just like go with and make decisions based on that. And that's kind of what really, I think, hampered my relationship with Cheryl Fuller in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
that she really kind of thought like, no, she has somebody else
mm-hmm.
on her side and stuff like this. And I really felt manipulated and I felt
mm-hmm.
pressured from both sides.
Right.
Really, really difficult.
They wanted you to choose sides,
yeah.
and you were trying to remain neutral.
Exactly.
I
and I really wanted, I liked both
smart.
Of them. I was, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and... But it didn't work. I mean, like, I tried to, but it really got to work.
So, is there an office? I mean, I guess it would depend on where Tom lands.
And Joe Lomax still has his office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the deal is with that, because he's
he
not
shouldn't.
In much anymore.
Yeah. Well, he's not supposed to have an office.
Yeah.
And that would that be an acceptable office?
Yeah, absolutely. I just, anything that has daylight, I'm
mm-hmm.
I'd be happy at this point. I mean, I would have moved out of the department, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just...
Mm-hmm.
Because I spent probably of all members there, I spent the most time in my office because I do the directed studies too. So I, you know, and I was walked by the good offices and I was empty. So and I, but again, that was something I could never talk to Tom about.
Right.
And that was new to me because before, you know, like we always, you know, in university years before, I was always by seniority, so we moved often.
Mm-hmm.
That was just very common.
Right.
And I felt like, well, now I'm a little bit higher, and, you know, and it didn't make a difference. And
right.
I still had the worst office.
Right.
And that kind of like, I was the furthest away from everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, and we run into this problem not infrequently, where an emeritus faculty, especially one who's been here for a really long time, we have trouble getting them to actually move out.
Yeah.
And so it may take, but they don't have a right to an office because we just don't have enough space.
And I know that Joe is still very much involved with it. I think without Joe, the equipment just is department under Tom would have came. I think the one who kept it going was Joe,
Joe,
because he has his heart is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been the one who has been extremely supportive the last months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was very concerned about me emotionally. And he came in, I know that Tom did not approve of it, and I know that that
Joe is a very kind-hearted, good person.
Yeah, and that really helped because I felt very isolated. And I had some of the staff members come in, but always like behind closed doors, kind of showing me their support. But you know, their position is vulnerable, and so that's kind of made it hard. And you know, it affected my students too because they were treated worse because of it. And this is kind of like why I'm, you know, why it has really taken a toll because it's been going for so long, and I felt like I've always had the greatest. You know, I trust in the university. I mean, like, I love it. I love being here. This is really, I mean, from the beginning it felt right. You know, when I met you as the dean at that time, it just, it felt like, you know, administration, everything, it felt so right. And, you know, I have, and then when I asked for help in this matter, maybe also because this troop was new and everything, and it felt like she was, from the beginning, seemed almost more annoyed than wanting to help. And, you know, and I really felt like, well, I don't know, because maybe I'll still go. I didn't want to run to the chancellor's office. I mean, like, so, like, I want to keep this, you know, like, the next step up.
Right, and that's what you should do.
And nothing really happened. I mean, she said it's departmental affairs. I feel like how it's, you know, like, being discriminated and that being retaliated against. How is the departmental affair? I mean, what else should I do? And the same with Jean Durr. It was, you know, like, it took so many. I asked for a formal investigation already in early November, and nothing happened. And it was very frustrating, and I asked even for, email right up on the website and talked about a grievance procedure. So I said, you know, where do I turn in my grievance report? I thought, like, maybe it goes with HR, and she didn't. She said, well, you know, I'll let you know, and I sent you the kind of information. She never did. So I felt like, you know, this is, it got later and later. Next semester was, you know, as every time I needed something from Tom, you know, wherever he could, you know, he delayed me or hurt me and humiliated me. And I saw people in the department kind of like not really being mean to me, but not knowing how to react with me. But it didn't really greet me anymore unless I greeted them. So they were like really minimized the contact with me. And I'm a team player. It is not about, you know, even when I have things where I can get publicity, I'd like to involve the students. I like to make it a university thing. It's just. You know, I live through my students. I really feel like I'm at a point where it's not about me. It's, you know, I mean, I find great pleasure in seeing them exceed, excel. And it was really hard to see when it affected them too. And their things got delayed. And, you know, and they came to me and says, you know, we asked, we went and made an appointment with the chair and asked about some ideas and courses and involved in doing research with you. I mean, I just, you know, dismissed. In a very rude way. And that was one of them was the former president of the CJA. And so it was four of them I went in. And they were very frustrated. And I did not put them up to it. You know, it's just like, you know, with the one article that Tom did, I don't know whether you read his rebuttal, but he wrote about an article, and yeah, and I did not mention basically what the forensic instructor did, and it's just like, it wasn't my thing, the student's mm-hmm. approach, or way approached by Barbara Weinbrenner at that time. I didn't have anything to do with it. In fact, like when they talked, I said, I excused myself because I wanted it to be about the students.
Right.
And not about me. I didn't present there. My students, I wanted to present, but and I asked for information when the deadline for publication was, but the Italian didn't want me to. So it's kind of, and that's the other thing that I'm struggling with, because I really thought Eric was a friend. And I found out just recently, just a few months ago, that he actually applied for the position that I got. And I think, and then things make a lot more sense why it's been a race ever since. When I put in for promotion, I talked to him and I told him, it's like, you know, I'm putting in for promotion, and it's like, you know, I learned I can. And then he said, oh, okay. And then at the meeting, the DRB meeting, I found out he put in too. I was just like, you know, why didn't you tell me? I mean, this, I didn't have any problem, but I felt a little bit kind of strange. And then Tom endorsed Eric, and with me, kind of like they first rejected it. Even though everything was there in my file, all they had to do was look. So it's been kind of like this from the beginning. And then everything seems to, the more I kind of started to blossom here, the worse my relationship with Eric to tell them. You know, and I was very excited when I got the donation from AT&T. And I shared it with him because I thought, like, as a friend, you know, I was excited. I said, you know, look, and, you know, that allows me to get things started. Because the first thing was like, well, you know, without, you need, you know, like you can get released time. I said, wow, you know, maybe it's a donation, I can get some kind of work on it. I never expected the university to pay for it. I understand, you know, budget reasons and the understaffed and everything. So, you know, so I made my my efforts, and I never did it without the knowledge of others. And so, and I shared it with him, and he started becoming stranger, stranger. Like, he was not happy about it at all. Well, you know, we have to talk about it, but department, aren't you? Like, why do we have to talk about, when I, you know, that was for, you know, I used part of a proposal that was already signed off on, and, you know, for getting a donation, getting started. Why do I need to have your approval? I mean, he gets money, and nobody else is asked. So, it, you know, it got worse and worse. You know, there was just no positive sign from it. And others told me, like, well, you know, it's all about him. And it's, he does not like competition. So, and, you know, and that kind of makes sense. I mean, I learned then that he actually wanted my position. That makes sense. I mean, he encouraged me a few times, you know, to get take a job somewhere else. I mean, he says, like, well, you know, you kind of, the ones, if you say, like, well, you never thought you would come anyway with your qualifications, everything. And then, when he learned that I had job offers from three other universities, so you know, like for, you know, with Homeland Security and everything, because that's my background. And he said to me, why don't you take that? Why don't you go there? And I said, like, because this is our home. I have a family, and this is our home, and I like it here, and, you know, I love working with the students, and this feels good. This feels like home. I feel really good about the university. And he kept pushing. And I thought, like, why would you? I mean, I wouldn't encourage anybody else in our department to leave, because that wouldn't be in our department's best interest.
Right.
So, except for maybe Tom now, but otherwise, you know, like we're understaffed, and we need good people. So there's just so much going on that you know, like, that I don't even want to sometimes want to go in, because you come across, I mean, anything from book orders, you know, so we can't order any more books because we run out of money. And then, you know, Sherry says, well, you know, except for Eric Dutel, who got his book, you know, like 2-3 years before, before he should have. I mean, like, we have 5 years on a book, at least 5 years, we have to keep it. His own book got reordered when he gets the second edition come out, after a little bit over 2 years. I mean, how is that fair? I mean, it's just money in his pocket. It shouldn't be. It's money that our program loses for his gain.
Right.
And especially if it's his book and he feels like he made some necessary changes, he can make them available to the students without problems. Because, you know, like, if he he's the author of it. So that's not a problem. I mean, I do this all the time with other books. We have a lot of outdated books. And I supplement with, you know, more current stuff. I mean, we have D2L, it's very easy to do. you know, we can, even with D2L, you know, the staff here that we have, they even check on legality of making some stuff accessible to our students, copyright questions. So all this is not a problem. So it's, and it's been really tough because I've been kind of like fighting these two fronts in our department. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and this is something that, you know, like I did not want to believe until I first experienced it, but I've been told for a long time that Eric is, Eric and Tom are like, you know, very close, and Eric manipulates Tom mm-hmm. to get what he wants. Eric bragged at one point that, you know, like, as long as you make it Tom's idea, then he'll go with it. And so he definitely has figured him out. They're playing this NCIS thing with, you know, Boss and stuff mm-hmm. like this, where Tom's Gibbs and Eric pretends to be like Tony, basically. That's
not familiar with the show.
And it's, Tom is really into it, so mm-hmm. he really likes it. So it's kind of, it's kinda, really not now. I mean, Eric wrote that letter that Tom sent me. You know, that was mm-hmm. Eric's writing. Mm-hmm. And I had, when we were in Germany, we had the equivalent of the FBI there. I had them look at the writing analysis mm-hmm. and they said it's, mm-hmm. I mean, we could submit it here and it's not Tom's writing. Mm-hmm. It's clearly not his writing. And I just had a few weeks earlier, I had a meeting with Eric because I tried to kind of like, hey, you know, one thing I was excited about what I wanted to do and wanted him as a sounding board, and I wanted him to feel like he's part of it. Mm-hmm. And all was in the letter was basically what he told me before. Like he told me, like, well, you're not an expert. This is like, Eric, I worked in this. I mean, like, I worked intelligence, you know, like encryption and mm-hmm. all this stuff is kind of like what I did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then he says, well, let's not get nitpicky. That's what he said verbatim. Yeah, I'm listed as a consultant for the European Union mm-hmm. on cybercrime. I've been put on for the UN just now on a research team of five people, including me, mm-hmm. on profiling hackers. They just asked me just recently. So I just made a conscious decision of I'm going to work on this, trying to get our students involved too.
Sure.
You know, that I have to hear these things, you know, but you're not an expert.
Mm-hmm.
My resume doesn't have most of the stuff that I did on it because, you know, confidentiality agreements. So I really relied heavily on my degrees and my work experience in the, you know, in the academic field. And then you look at his, and it says, like, you know, he's a world-renowned expert.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't support it. I mean, he lists, like, he did stuff for Secret Service and FBI and DOD and stuff like this. The one thing is, he's probably, if it's true, mm-hmm. he shouldn't be putting it on there. Mm-hmm. It's one thing. He doesn't put any time base on it, mm-hmm. which is very unusual. Usually you have to do it in a resume.
Right.
And his references, he had listed somebody, a friend he knew ahead from the registrar's office, somebody, and a staff member there, somebody from biology, and our secretary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. He can claim whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just no checking in. And things don't add up either. I mean, it sounds like, you know, he has 8 years of law enforcement training, that's what he claims on his resume, but if you look at the time dates, mm-hmm. it's just five.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of things that are very vague.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it wouldn't really bother me so much if he would not take me on wherever he can.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to block me. And it's not in the best interest of the department.
Mm-hmm.
What I do doesn't take anything away from him. Except for if he thinks like letting somebody else up there,
mm-hmm.
so the attention is shared,
mm-hmm.
if he takes offense to that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not in the best interest of our school, our program. We have not, in criminal justice, we have not added any courses to mid-1990s.
Mm-hmm.
So under Tom, no new course was added. That's just horrible.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know...
I was surprised that the department didn't even have a curriculum committee.
Yeah. It's just like everything, I mean, what happens with forensics is okay. It's very, very technical. I mean, like, you look at forensic photography. The FBI teaches it for 2 days. German police, they have 2.5 years required training. They also teach only two days of forensic photography. We have a semester class out of it. in LA&E. I don't know where the academic rigor comes from, honestly. So all these things, it's like, and we never talked about it in our department. It's been when somebody else but Eric wants to have an idea, then we have to have his approval. You know, is anything from corrections that I think I brought with Restorative Justice on campus. We have two agencies now that work with our students. And this isn't really my field. It's just nobody else really felt like volume won't work anyway. And I didn't want to lose this opportunity to do a different school because they were shopping around. So we got that now for here. And they, in fact, they want to have a restorative justice day. They want to rent here, I think, the Wellesley Commons or so. They want to have a conference, restorative justice conference in November here on campus.
That'd be great.
So it's really neat. So it's just all this stuff I've been doing in a shadow with very little attention. In other words, it's about me or anything. But in order to kind of get donations, get things, and get students in and stuff like this, it would be really nice. The same with the Germany program. I mean, there'll probably be an article in the official. I already talked to LME actually approached me about the person who followed Heidi, I think is her name, who's now doing the writing for LME.
Lori
Hammer. And so she just thought like maybe we should wait until semester starts so we can share with more students. But we were treated like, we were like a delegation. They introduced us as a delegation from the U.S. And we were invited to the Federal Ministry of the Interior. And we were, which is usually you don't get in. We saw, we met with the police president.
Deb Rice went with
you? Yes. Yeah, because I know that she really, when she heard that that was planned in the planning, she asked, oh, you know, if I can be a chaperone, I would love to be. And it was great to have her and her husband there. They were really very, very supportive, helpful. And I think it was a real success. In fact, out of that, we
How
have
many
now,
students were?
We had 13 students. And out of that, we now have a research project with Brandenburg, the state of Brandenburg, which is also a rural state. They're just around Berlin, so. And they, we want to do research on including networking in law enforcement and better police rural communities, which is one that we said that we can do with a very little budget. And it would be nice if we can get some donations in, so we can actually, for example, then travel. And but it wouldn't be much, so that would be really interesting. So we cannot look in the face of. I mean, we can work on this without any funding at this point. But you can get students involved in it, and that could be really a neat project, not just for these two countries, but for others too. How to use social networking in really addressing or connecting, being in contact with people who otherwise are very often neglected.
Right.
And better inform the population. So I think it'll be a really neat project. So and this is to have the president of basically equivalent of chancellor here. He's full on board, so we had an official meeting and two other professors there and somebody from the police presidium. And so they're very supportive of it. So so it's just one of several projects, I mean, our students presented there. We have a DVD if you ever want to see it. I had to present in German, they had to present in English, but they presented to German police. And they had police invited from other states too.
That was
really neat, yeah. And they did a good job. I mean, we had several presentations in the whole day. And it was, I think, for them a really unique experience. And they advertised it. This is from a newspaper in Berlin, and this is kind of like the article that I wrote. So this is, so they have some of our students here in it, and of course it's all in German, but they had that in it right the next day, and had announcements and poster printed, and they had it on their website and stuff. So where they introduced what we presented. And I mean, I was very proud of our students. They did. I mean, look, they look really, really good. I mean, the suits presented well, and it was a great experience. I think for all of us. And they had police president, he gave us a big bus, police bus, with a driver almost the entire time, so we had really great transportation.
Bratwurst is our national.
Yeah, I tried to at first try to do some build a bridge, and I said like that the Wisconsin state dish is like the bratwurst, so they put it in.
Beer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be a so Lori is going to do an article.
Mm-hmm,
on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said, and they have a website. They have two from their from their facility, from the police academy. So police academy and Command College, and so they had everything announced on it, and it was pretty neat. Yeah. So yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, and they showed us. I mean, we were invited, but we had an entire day in their their state forensic lab too.
Oh,
they
showed
us, and they had a. Gave us a demonstration from their state SWAT team, and there was actually a SWAT team that then dispatched for President Obama's visit.
Wow!
And so they had, they already mentioned that they were the snipers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we had a tour from the airport police, and they kind of also like shared with us how they prepare for a dignitary visit. And so it was really neat. I mean, they toured the airport with us, and I mean, we saw Air Force One. We drove Air Force One. It was pretty amazing. And they actually like they offered to keep us there longer. They said like, you know, if you want to stay a few extra days, because President Obama is coming, then we make that possible. But we had our flight booked, so we couldn't. But we stood the same place. I mean, there was security there, but because we was the police, they brought us to the same place where President Obama stood and gave his speech.
Oh, wow.
So there was just some pictures there, and it was pretty neat.
So, in terms of the, how many probationary faculty are there at CJ? It's Lauren?
Yeah, Lauren Gibson, Rex Reed, Diana Johnson, then our new hire, Pat Solar, will start this August. I think that's it. The rest are academic staff.
Male or female?
Male.
Okay. So only one of them is a woman.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's another thing. It's just like that is it's been a trend to especially hire also like older older males. And I think we had some really neat applicants. We could have filled all positions. We really could have. But yeah, especially Dutel did not want a young male there. And we had somebody, I mean, his evaluations, student evaluations were great. And what I looked at when I read them was how they wrote. It was handwritten. And they had very good English skills. Their writing skills were very good, which means like this is somebody who really focuses on. He would have been really neat, but he was a young male. He really wanted to come here. Eric did not want him. And it was in the end, it was two against two. And then and he said, well, let's listen what the student has to say. Eric's first response was, oh, he doesn't have a vote anyway. And then we didn't go with the candidate. And the student really liked a professor. So we could have we could have had somebody else. And he taught at Houston State.
So how are you feeling about the probationary faculty? Are you feeling that you're, I know that the department is uncomfortable right now, but with do you feel like you're making any, building any bridges with
I had actually from the beginning, I think we had, I had a good working relationship. I offered Diana Johnson to co-teach a summer course. I did most of the work because she was still new, which I didn't mind. But I was, and it was a great experience, and we got along very well. In fact, like we planned even for the forensics house, and we had a case already prepared, and then I was thrown out, and then I was actually a little bit miffed because it was like, you know, we had this one case prepared, and now you're working on it, doing that crime scene revisit, and you know, like, and you kind of keep me out of the loop. This is, you know, what the heck is going on? And Eric then came to our office and gave me a lecture on, you know, how dare you kind of say these things. This is that's something that we had a case that we prepared for
Diane
summer.
Diane kicked you out, or?
Well, Diana Johnson then just kept it with Dana Cecil, but mm-hmm. Eric has a lot of say in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't understand, because we had this one case, and it was an older case, never really solved, and mm-hmm. we thought that would be really neat to mm-hmm. kind of prepare for the crime scene house. And we had already a lot of work done
mm-hmm.
for the summer class, because it was a case that we prepared for the
right.
summer class. And so we thought, like, that might kind of make sense. And then it was kind of all thrown out, which was fine. You know, I don't have a problem kind of adopting a new case. It was just that suddenly I wasn't
mm-hmm.
part of it anymore. It was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for her it's a little bit difficult, because
mm-hmm.
she's really, I mean, like, you know,
similar to what you went through.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to make them uncomfortable, so I'm not, you know, I don't say anything negative.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with Dana Cecil. And with her, it's kind of especially weird, because she was my grad student.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I took her to the Chicago conference,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, which, you know, she was the first grad student
mm-hmm.
in our institute program who was taking the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all that stuff. And with her, it's really weird, but, you know, I just heard, I mean, the rumors are that Eric and her are a couple.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of problematic, because
mm-hmm.
Eric chaired the surgeon screen
mm-hmm.
that she got hired in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you know, but the release time that Joe Lomax had was given to Dana Cecil. So
mm-hmm.
the release time for outreach and stuff was given from the most senior faculty member to the most junior staff member.
Mm-hmm.
And we never talked about it on a department level. And I would have, and I was told, oh, for my, for cybercraft
staff.
Mm-hmm. For cyber, and she's really a coordinator for the online program.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, one work after the other. It's like, and I asked for, well, is there a chance it can get release time or paid release? I mean, like, how we can figure this out, or even if I can, for donation, or if I get money in. And Tom said, no, we don't have money, but we need you, I need you to teach. And it's like, now there is release time is given to her.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it just is, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just not fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, wherever, you know, like, this is one of those things, you know, where you, I'm really sometimes afraid of, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's just another bad thing, another bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very corrupt department.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. And it's hard for, I think, for me to teach on police corruption when
mm-hmm.
we have that going on in our own department.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only one who's been really, a strong force has been Joe Lomax.
Mm-hmm.
He's not someone who is confrontational
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he his way of supporting me was just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
was a lot of emotional support
mm-hmm.
and hang in there and, you know, really appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, he gets really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's very happy. I mean, from him I hear,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm so glad you came here and
mm-hmm.
you're the best thing for this program. From Tom, I hear, well, if you don't like it here, you can leave. I said, like, where does that come from? I mean, like, one time I just inquired, because his internship, the internships last summer, he divided up in a not very fair way. And then as he still got interns, and then I said, like, well, Amy Nemitz complained about the years before that she didn't get any. And when I asked about that, because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to know, you know, what's the reasoning for it, he told me, well, it's because she is the online coordinator,
mm-hmm.
and she's paid through the program through the summer. That made sense to
mm-hmm.
me. And then Aziza is kind of doing what Amy Nemes is, and she has more interns than I had,
mm-hmm.
and others had. And I said, like, how is that fair? And so I asked Tom about that last year, and he hated it. He basically said, like, you know, you can, I understand if you want to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
I still have that email. It's just like, that's not what I said. It just said, this is kind of like, you know, I kind of thought, you know, this is summer pay that's the rate that I can get for, and then you kind of distribute
mm-hmm.
it to others.
Mm-hmm.
It's things, decisions like that, that just don't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask something, you know, like, first thing is, you know, well, you know, you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is, like, that would be horrible for the program.
Mm-hmm.
It really would. I mean, just, you know, I've been teaching 5 courses.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, I do directed studies. We don't get paid for directed studies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do them for my benefit. I mean,
mm-hmm.
my students are not doing my work.
Mm-hmm.
They're not writing my books or anything. It's about what I ask. Always ask them, what is your interest?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they don't really know exactly what they want to do, then I come up with some options. But I let them pick. I want their heart to be in it. It's their career,
mm-hmm.
Because it makes a huge difference. I mean, like Michelle Markowitz got hired into the FBI
mm-hmm.
because of what she did with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got her the job. That's what she told me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had other students who said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got that. Aaron Jacobus got a graduate student research
mm-hmm.
position last summer, which as an undergrad. And he competed with students from USC,
mm-hmm.
UCLA, UC
mm-hmm.
Irvine, you know, all these big schools
mm-hmm.
in California. And he got it. I mean, this is pretty neat. So
it
it's because of the project he did. And this is kind of what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to showcase it more, too. I don't think
I think it needs to be showcased.
Yeah. We have people in very interesting
mm-hmm.
positions, and
mm-hmm.
we have to really advertise that.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is, too, what I brought up, too, is also this Tom at one point, that you know, when you do a Google search on our online program, we are on the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
The main reason is because we didn't answer a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not right. And this is free advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that we can do. And one thing is, like, I had these two websites. And there's another thing that was brought up in the letter
mm-hmm.
that didn't make any sense. And Tom gave me a hard time that I purchased two open access journals. So I bought them myself with the idea of, because open access journals will be probably take, you know, it's said like maybe about half by 2025,
mm-hmm.
maybe about half of the articles will be distributed through them. So I thought, like, it would be
mm-hmm.
nice to get on them early. And I got two great names, Journal for Criminal Justice and Journal for Cybersecurity. I mean, and I have a .com and .net,
mm-hmm.
.com and .org.
Mm-hmm.
So I got these two names. And, you know, we made a face.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband helped me with it because he's a computer science major. And then I put, you know, for cybersecurity, I put some of the ideas
mm-hmm.
that I had on my proposal on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed it to Tom. I sent an email with the links. And I had two emails. That's why I can prove that he saw those. I mean, he went to his office and he called it up. He said, oh, that's really nice. And I said, yeah. And I told Dana Cecil, you know, this is something, you know, for example, we could also, like, you know, maybe a portion of your master's thesis we could put on there or something. And, you know, like, and we can make it, my goal was to make it peer reviewed
mm-hmm.
eventually. And then I do a blog that, you know, students can maybe have different topics.
Mm-hmm.
And we can obtain, for example, human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we had our poster project,
mm-hmm.
so that we just create some traffic, and it would be free advertisement for the university, and it would be something that our students can say, like, look, this is what I've done,
right.
And then I get just raked over the coals for this, and then this took two, yeah, and didn't have permission or something, or what I should have put this stuff on. It's like, okay, I can change it, I can take stuff off, but that was not new. I mean, and it was never secretive about it. I was very happy, very proud. In fact, I showed it to her too.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have any documentation for it, so that's why I didn't put it in my grievance
mm-hmm.
package.
Mm-hmm.
But she saw it too in her office.
Mm-hmm.
But I know with Tom I have proof.
Mm-hmm.
And then in his January letter, a few days before the check presentation, he does this. I mean, like, he accuses me of it, of
mm-hmm.
that I, you know, misrepresent facts and. And it was just very nasty, and then this troop sent me an email too that, you know, maybe the check presentation shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we already have the money.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a slap in the face of AT&T?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't want you to come out and make publicity
mm-hmm.
out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was. So this is really my big question is, when will that be remedied? Because
mm-hmm.
it's really, I mean, I have not done anything.
Mm-hmm.
I seized all my efforts in this. I can do it without, I mean, after. It was basically, I was basically told I don't have support of the department. So I haven't done anything. And the money, you know, the time
the
frame
money
was...
The money is to use to create a cybersecurity...
It was what I told them, and they had. I was upfront from the very beginning. I told AT&T that I put in a proposal. We put in from this university program a proposal with the NSF
mm-hmm.
to institutionalize cybersecurity
mm-hmm.
and have a bachelor's degree eventually. I mean, this is what it said. I was signed off. It said it wasn't. We made it to peer review. We got very good reviews, but the big thing was what they told us. and I had a talk with Bob Roberts about it, is that they do not fund curriculum. I mean, they do not fund curriculum development. Mm-hmm. After that, they said, Bob Roberts said, well, there are other funds, even with NSF, that we can put in. And I was actually prepared to do that. There's also a Wisconsin systems grant that I already did the pre-proposal that was approved. And they were actually very excited that I already got funding from AT&T. And they said, this is really good. Mm-hmm. And I seized all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a $300,000 grant. Mm-hmm. And so I told AT&T that, we didn't get approved, we didn't get it. But I'm looking now for maybe some private funding just to get things started, mm-hmm. And I don't need much. And so mm-hmm. they knew that, I didn't have a lot of money behind me, mm-hmm. that we don't have the manpower. I never said that, never made that claim. I just mm-hmm. said, I don't need much to kind of get it started. Anything from that, it helps us go to symposiums, present, learn there, to maybe build a workshop, get public involved. Platteville PD has been asking me repeatedly, when are you doing something? I want to send my officers to you. So, and other departments too. I mean, there's great interest. And that's what I thought we could get off the ground. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can get a couple computers or something. And they had that. Also get speakers on campus. There's money budgeted for it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm told, I'm misrepresenting things, so that I'm pretending like we have this thing going, or I never did. I just said, I have this drive. Mm-hmm. I would like to. There's a great need. The Department of Justice here, they were very excited, very, very supportive. So I had from the top leadership there, mm-hmm. they said, we need people for white collar crime mm-hmm. investigations, mm-hmm. and we need for internet crimes against children mm-hmm. there in Fox Valley, and you actually need clearance to be working in it. So we were actually discussing ways of getting our students involved in that group, and I already practiced it in our in my undergraduate class. Mm-hmm. And I had permission because I went through the IRB through it just to make mm-hmm. sure that anything we do is okay. And I got green light from I talked with Barbara Barnett, mm-hmm. and she said, I do not for this purpose, I don't need formal approval. And we were in chat rooms, mm-hmm. and my students were posing as minors. Mm-hmm. So because I wanted them to get exposed to it, I showed them skills how to track emails and how to find out whether an IP address is legit or not. Mm-hmm. So these are kind of things that I already did with them. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I had students who actually, one student here I helped here, I'm a professor here on campus, mm-hmm. who almost got defrauded in an online scam. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned something in class, and my students got, oh my gosh, it sounds just like what we learned in mm-hmm. Dr. Burton's class. So they told him about it. Then they asked whether, can he come and talk to you? Mm-hmm. So they brought him in my office. And we were able to help him. Mm-hmm. So he already had a check and everything, mm-hmm. and we were able to undo everything, mm-hmm. so he wasn't damaged. Mm-hmm. And my students were ecstatic about that, mm-hmm. because they actually could help someone.
Right.
So it's for that's really, so there's really a great need mm-hmm. for it.
I do have a question mm-hmm. for you, because I'm trying to understand, there would be a problem if you are creating new courses, a new major or a new program without going through the government's process, mm-hmm. which is to mm-hmm. have the department approve it mm-hmm. and then the college approve it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally understand, because that was actually brought up already when we did the NSF proposal, mm-hmm. because that's what it was for. It was for institutionalizing this mm-hmm. kind of program, mm-hmm. to have a Bachelor of Science degree in cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. So that was not, I didn't even bring that up. That was actually, I didn't even dream that big. Mm-hmm. That was something that Bob Roberts was mm-hmm. Even with Cabot and stuff. I mean, Cabot was even named as the director of that kind of center mm-hmm. under one proposal that was sent to DOJ. Mm-hmm. The DOJ sent at that time for my NSF proposal, they sent letters of support. Mm-hmm. That was all part of the package.
So if you had gotten the grant mm-hmm. and you developed the curriculum and you presented it to the department, let's say the department approved it, and then went to the college, and the college said, no, we don't have enough resources to do this, I mean, mm-hmm. would you have been bound by the grant?
The grant would have financed it. the NSF grant would have financed it. So that it had infra staff, it has for teaching and all that. It had, and it was a multidisciplinary approach.
Because mm-hmm. we would also have to go to system and get approved. Mm-hmm. So I mean, mm-hmm. it's not like you could develop all of this.
Mm-hmm. And you still need for an UW system.
Right.
And I just, it was just really a precursor to mm-hmm. kind of get toward that. And there was a feasibility study done, and there was from sponsor programs that did that on Michael Gay, mm-hmm. and he kind of informed DOJ of that too. And it was evaluated towards what a UW system was already offered.
Mm-hmm.
There is something in cybersecurity, it's offered by a mass and computer science department. There's nothing offered in the criminal justice level. My idea was actually not to even start that big right away. I thought I wanted to start with a few courses.
Mm-hmm.
Then I already talked at that time already to Dean of Engineering, who was also like very supportive, and then with Computer Science mm-hmm. Department to, and even for, with accounting,
mm-hmm.
Maybe have a course that we co-teach.
Mm-hmm.
And because there is a great interest there too. So there are other things in the making. So that we really kind of pull from each other, and I wanted to start with some courses, and then maybe focus on emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, like you know, just mm-hmm. emphasis what we have for corrections, what we had for forensic investigation, and then you know maybe with a minor and then a major,
mm-hmm.
and just go through that. But you know, like even within the systems, we need to show something. I mean, you have to have some building blocks already in place,
mm-hmm.
and I never told. Whether it's AT&T or anybody else, that we will have this kind of like institute or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, that was actually something that was by a sponsored program brought that out bigger than,
mm-hmm.
And I said like, you know, we do step by step. I know that, and the one thing is, we really need the personnel for it,
mm-hmm.
we need people have some kind of knowledge, and I thought like we could tap into some of the computer science courses. There are some professors who really feel there is great need from their
mm-hmm.
side. So I talked to Rob Hasker at
mm-hmm.
that time, who was very, very open. He was one of my team members for the NSF proposal,
mm-hmm.
and it had the engineering dean on it too. So there was really just a lot of support from the engineering schools.
Mm-hmm.
We really thought about this is not, it would have been a disciplinary program, kind of where we tap
mm-hmm.
into the expertise of from also from the business department, but it would have been under guidance
mm-hmm.
from under CJ guidance,
mm-hmm.
because it's really tight. And there is a missing link. What we have, the geeks, we have the cyber experts, the programmers, the one that understand exploits and then kind of write programs to protect against the exploits, and we have. And we don't have anything between the courts and them. So the problem is that the computer experts, the forensic experts, they cannot talk to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And the courts don't even understand with warrants.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, like the one thing is we cannot prosecute because we do not have the know-how. We don't know how to seize evidence. We do not know how to prepare evidence for the courts.
Mm-hmm.
When I was still in law enforcement in California, I built an entire case on an online fraud case. Everything documented. The DA's office said, we don't want to take it because we have no clue about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was everything. We even had they claimed they came from Canada. They are actually from Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
We had everything. His phone number. We found out where they were located. It was clearly documented as a fraud. You know, we had the address was embedded in the one picture that they stole from somewhere else, so that we could prove it was really fraudulent. We had the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I really thought, like, there's a great need for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2005,
mm-hmm.
6, something like this. That was before I left California. And I thought, like, this is just not good.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do this. And we can prepare, even when we get everything
mm-hmm.
together, we cannot sell it to a court. And this is kind of really what I want to do. I want to educate our students. And just in this class, they already learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
So in a semester class,
mm-hmm.
just understand, you know, the different weaknesses that we have in the system so that they're more careful themselves. You know, we talked about password protection. We talked about, you know, like when somebody's been stalked online, or online bullying and all this, you know, like how to proceed in these cases. Because there's a lot law enforcement can do, but they have to know. It's anything from seizing even a smartphone. When you seize a smartphone, you can't turn it off because you lose the volatile data. You have to, and if the battery is low, then you actually have to charge it. It has to be put in a faraway bag so it cannot be accessed. Otherwise, you know, information can be compromised and destroyed. The same with computers. So we kind of really talked about how to photograph, you know, computers, the connections, how to transport it, I mean, it's like analyze it, how to kind of check what kind of, you know, what kind of information to secure, things like this that they can really use in their law enforcement job.
Yeah, and that all sounds wonderful, but you do understand that you can't create a course without having it approved.
It would have to go through curriculum,
right.
And that was my full intent to do that.
Okay.
I mean, like I wanted to get the course I wanted to send it through curriculum committee in spring, this spring, while I was teaching, because I had it all ready.
Right.
I said, like, I wanted to do it, and then I did not. I really, because of this, I couldn't.
Right.
And I don't understand why. I mean, like, there is need for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
right.
The students want it. They request it.
Mm-hmm.
They are all bummed that this
is
offered
again.
So is
the money from AT&T to help you create the course, or?
It was to get buy books, electronic material.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like, get guest speakers in, travel, go to conferences. That's really what I was there for.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not to buy me release time, because they say like this is kind of like it has to do with somehow the tax status or so. So like, okay, you know, my next step would have been is trying to get funding so I can get release time.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, so that would have been my next step. I never expected, you know, people to kind of give me money. I mean, like, you know, I know that was the fortunate situation that Dutel was in, because, you know, he never had to worry about any of these things.
Right.
But I never expected that. And I never claimed it to anyone. So, and I don't think anybody was under the impression. I mean, like, certainly at AT&T, not at AT&T, because I told them right from the very beginning that the NSF proposal fell through, and I want to apply for it again, but I want to have something in place, because they wanted to see curriculum development.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could have shown them, we have this course approved, it went through LNE curriculum committee, to our, you know, to department committee, to LNE curriculum committee, it's been approved now.
Committee.
Yeah, that's similar to my study abroad course, that also went through the curriculum committee. That was my full intent. I never intended to do anything else. But my hopes were then, you know, especially also like checking in, and there was talks I had with Rob Haskins and others from computer science department to kind of investigate which computer science courses would be interesting for our students. And I already advised students on who are interested in cybersecurity, and says, you know, some of my advisees are now minoring or double majoring in computer science because they want to get into this field. I mean, the starting salary is $80,000. It's a great field, and I get requests, you know, like very often from law enforcement who are looking for people who have this kind of training. So I really have kind of courses that are really good for them to take. You know, how much technical courses do they need to have? What is really the minimum that they have to understand so they can call themselves trained, at least have some training in it.
Right.
And there's really not much needed to really make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from, you know, like credit card fraud, how to track, you know, the fraud, also how to advise victims, you know, the target hardening, which is part of community-oriented policing, all these kind of outreach programs that now we have to incorporate cybersecurity too, even on local levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of my goal.
Mm-hmm.
So have one course start with cybercrime here,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe later have something on, you know, theories of, you know, cybercrime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, then for example, I wanted one undergraduate course, one graduate course.
Mm-hmm.
Now the graduate course we're building right now, But that was the other thing too, like, you know, I had it ready. It was just like to get permission to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom tore my thing apart with a red pen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just absolutely ridiculous. And he analyzed encryption and question mark. And
mm-hmm.
is this, what is your problem with it? Well, you know, you have to take this out. It cannot be in it. And first he thought I misspelled it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to, and then he says, it's a bare-bone proposal. It was 3 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
They told me at the Grad Council that they approve, they give approval for development,
mm-hmm.
often for just for less than a page.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not bare-bone.
Mm-hmm.
There's everything but bare-bone. And then they criticized, one of the big criticisms they had, the only criticisms they really had is that encryption and these kind of cybersecurity technical terms were not included. They said, like, you know, how can you not have it in there?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of very important. And I don't want to teach it as a technical class.
Mm-hmm.
I want to teach it as a link between, you know, the technical side and law enforcement. But I want to teach it as a course that helps our students to do a better job in policing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a local, on a state, or federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is also, like, understand the, you know, what draws people into
mm-hmm.
cybercrime.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of part of, you know, and I did this in undergrad course, I do it in the graduate course, I start with theories behind cybercrime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that, because I understand it's an LA&E course, so
mm-hmm.
I want to make that connection. I'm not teaching it as, you know, like
mm-hmm.
a technical class.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that going on in forensics
mm-hmm.
department, because if you look at, we have a class on bugs,
mm-hmm.
which entomology is a biology course. Actually, biology has one. We shouldn't be teaching that in, you know, forensic
mm-hmm.
investigation. It's not. There's nothing liberal arts in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I come from a liberal arts school. I'm a social
mm-hmm.
scientist, so I'm very aware of it, and I support that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important. So,
mm-hmm.
Even though I had technical training, I went to law school.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest problem in law school was that it's.
Mm-hmm.
It's tunnel vision, there's no critical thinking in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really tough time in the beginning of law school
mm-hmm.
because I came from a liberal arts school and I wanted to look at legal problems that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really what I'm very close to, it's very
mm-hmm.
dear to me. And so I don't want to leave that out of sight. And I think to kind of look at a technical crime,
mm-hmm.
but look at it, you know, but apply a critical thinking approach to it, and he's saying, you know, and how can we prevent this crime, what leads to it. There's a lot more than just enforcement,
mm-hmm.
understanding the players and who's really involved. There is even, I think, a political component to it, because there are different levels of cyber crime. You know, you look at, for example, Russian mafia, it's an international crime now anyway, so it's like international relations are important. There is one thing too that they asked me, and this is part of probably a future UN project. They asked me in Berlin, but I want to be part of it. It's in the talks to create an international law for the internet,
mm-hmm.
because it cannot be governed by a country anymore, by states anymore. So we have to come to some kind of international
right.
agreement on it. So this is, I mean, it's in the talks,
mm-hmm.
In very early stages, but I have a chance of getting into this, and that would be really amazing.
Yeah.
And I think for that, you know, again, then coming from a liberal arts school
mm-hmm.
and applying the critical thinking
mm-hmm.
approach to it, it would be very important,
mm-hmm.
not just like a legal approach.
Right.
And this is kind of what really, why I think it's great to have criminal justice in
mm-hmm.
LA&E.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell to my students from the beginning how the critical thinking is so
mm-hmm.
important. This is like your opportunity to have.
Right.
I mean, this is why it is such a class
mm-hmm.
for policing, to have students with to have applicants with a 4-year degree
mm-hmm.
who have this critical thinking
right.
approach.
Mm-hmm.
But we teach them in criminal justice or in FI is something they can learn in the academy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unique. You do not have to have a CJ degree to become a police officer, because
mm-hmm.
they teach all that in the academy. But what we teach is, you know, I think the writing, the critical thinking,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like having, looking beyond
right.
the scope, connecting, the problem solving, which
mm-hmm.
is really big now in community policing.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we can contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And then having courses and then integrate that into them, mm-hmm. so that when they're out there and then they're dealing with use of force issues, they're dealing with, you know, like politics, and they have to enforce that. They deal with, you know, when it has to do with, you know, minority issues, you know, like minority policing. I think a student who's gone through a liberal arts school is better equipped to handle this, a little bit, make better decisions. Especially, I mean, like, I tell my students too, I mean, with this degree, if you want to be a police officer for the rest of your life, that's totally fine. I mean, I have great respect for it, if this is your calling. But most of you probably will have, ambitions to kind of go into administration later on. And, I mean, so you work the field, but you have that kind of critical thinking, a problem-solving approach.
Right.
That is so, so very important.
Right. So, what it sounds like to me is that you should probably attempt to move forward with your course proposal in the fall. I would encourage you to do that. And I don't know if you've talked to Dominic or not about the graduate course, but he is now the director of the School of Graduate Studies.
Oh, okay. No, I have not.
And
so he's basically from Van Buren's.
Talk to him about the problems that you ran into in terms of the proposal that.
Because I was Van Buren was actually like David was very very supportive, and that was when Tom told me like, oh, you know, David had problems with it, and so I was like, okay. And I was kind of surprised. So, and it was really sort of like it was shut down. So I sent Dave an email and says, you know, like, maybe you can let me know what the problems were. And he says, I didn't see a problem with it. In fact, it was just like, he was concerned about some of the technical aspects and stuff. But these are things that we would have brought up anyway, and we did bring up at the meeting. But he was actually very much for it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was upset with Tom for like using him
right.
against me.
Right.
And then Tom was upset that I contacted Dave, but I didn't think, why couldn't I? I mean, like, I mean, just, and actually I CC'd Tom on the email. I didn't leave him out.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because I talked to Dave about internet things and online teaching at one point, and he just told me, like, this is like a field that he doesn't know too much about, and this is kind of like a new field, new discipline.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, and he was very interested in kind of this part. And I know that he was always open to kind of new aspects in criminal justice. And so it surprised me, so I just wanted to get, some input. I had to then explain it to Dr. Fuller, that it was, it's not a goal when we really thought it was a goal. I mean, she really talked to people and she was all for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just personal.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, and this is kind of like, it really has worn me out. I mean, it's been, and the frustrating part for me is that I have had big plans. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have two publications that are completely on hold.
You need to move forward with those.
Yeah, but
and I understand being emotionally drained.
Yeah.
But I think you need to move forward with. There's some things that you can do just on your own unilaterally, and certainly working on a research project and writing an article are things that we expect faculty to do, and they don't have to get that approved by anybody. Getting a course approved, I mean, that has to have departmental support. But, you know, if you have research projects that you're, I would encourage you to.
And I have some ideas already for fall, and the one is this kind of international project. So, I mean, I have things I have already students who are very interested that are offered that. It's just like last fall and in spring, I just couldn't work on it because I was dealing with this mess.
Sure.
And it was even paced projects that, I always had to jump through extra hoops. For the reader, and say, what is the problem?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a full success.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was really neat. I had 167 students involved.
Mm-hmm.
In research, mm-hmm. and most of them are freshmen. I mean,
yeah.
This is pretty neat.
That's
so,
great.
I mean, I had this one. I may modify it and can publish it maybe somewhere else. But it was just, and the one had to do also with cybersecurity, and I really just didn't feel like,
yeah.
you know, with it. But a big concern for me really is right now how to proceed with AT&T,
mm-hmm.
because to now, to my knowledge, they have not been approached.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they were informed in January, basically, that, you know, I mean, it was very negative, this one email that they got. And they wanted to give more money. They were very, very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew it was in the beginnings. I told them we don't have anything yet. I told them I teach it as a current topic, so I want to get it established as a course. So I never said, like, well, here's the institute, we have a degree and all that. It's like, you know, things like this are in the planning phases.
Mm-hmm.
I told them that because I let them see parts of the NSF proposal
mm-hmm.
that was approved. But they wanted to give more. In fact, they were ready to give another $3,000. In early spring,
mm-hmm.
and I never heard back from them. So they are really,
mm-hmm.
they have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like half a year later, and I've, you know, never. I mean, like I'm very quick to when I do something that is, you know, like that needs to be corrected, or I do something wrong, I take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like that was the big thing that I asked already in November, and I asked Jinder, I want an investigation. I want to
mm-hmm.
know what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Please see that I did something wrong. If I did something wrong, I will address it.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, then you know, he
mm-hmm.
has to leave me alone. He can't do this anymore.
Right.
And it's been never done.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked repeatedly, and he keeps saying, even in an agreements meeting too, I mean, he is a seven sheet, complains about this, and I said, what?
Mm-hmm.
List one thing specific.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't. And it's just, I mean, like even his wife said, well, I have to send my harassing emails.
Mm-hmm.
What? Show me one. I have everything documented.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you know, he's my boss.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break. You know,
mm-hmm.
my harassment doesn't go that
right.
way. You know, he has all the cards,
mm-hmm.
really. I mean, you know, anything from, like, the comparative criminal justice system should be my course.
Mm-hmm.
The NSC teaches about the German system.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy? I have students ask me, why don't you teach it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not allowed to.
But he's not chair anymore. I mean,
yeah.
he won't be at
mm-hmm.
the end of the semester.
I just feel like, you know, I wasted a lot of time with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could have had, I don't see why we would not have gotten the course to the curriculum committee
mm-hmm.
and had it established, and maybe teach it once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe later, you know, if there's more requests
mm-hmm.
and teach it twice. You know, like I was flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at that point, my goal was maybe offer it at least once a year, and see where it goes, and maybe offer it as you know during winter or summer if there's you know kind of make do with
mm-hmm.
resources we have. But I can't do it. I mean, it's not even scheduled. It's not even scheduled for spring. I mean, we got money in, and cybercrime is not scheduled for the next year.
So this is a course that already exists. This is not a course that you want
to do. I taught it as a current topics. I wanted to get it through the curriculum
mm-hmm.
committee. That was my goal,
mm-hmm.
to get it through the curriculum committee in spring.
Mm-hmm. So what would prevent you from trying to get it through, moving this fall through? Getting it through the curriculum committee this fall?
I could do it if
mm-hmm.
you know, with the new leadership
mm-hmm.
there's the support. And it's not listed for spring, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know when the earliest would be, when it could be taught
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been, to my knowledge, I think Bob Roberts taught a course similar to it, so it's been taught three times as a current topics, to my understanding.
Courses can be added, you know, just because it didn't go in with the original spring schedule doesn't mean that
mm-hmm.
it could not be added. Depends on, of course, getting things through faculty governance is a slow process,
mm-hmm.
so it might take an entire semester to
mm-hmm.
actually get it
mm-hmm.
through and get it approved.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be that next fall is
mm-hmm.
the earliest
mm-hmm.
that it could be taught.
And we have a good textbook.
Mm-hmm.
Could use the
and
entire
might,
book.
But,
it's not
but
expensive.
It's possible,
mm-hmm.
It's possible that you could teach it again as a special topics course
mm-hmm.
in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're trying to get it through as a regular course.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage you to work on doing that.
Mm-hmm. So, any ideas how we proceed with AT&T? Because
well, they've given the money. Is that correct?
They gave us the money already in December.
Mm-hmm. So if I were you, I would use that money in the way that you had intended to use it.
Will there be some kind of correction with them? What the committee, the agreements committee addressed?
That was not part of the Chancellor's findings. I mean, he did not make that suggestion in his recommendations or in his findings,
mm-hmm.
That there would be anything forthcoming to them.
Because I really feel my reputation with them is really tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
And the grievance committee agreed
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why it's really hard for me to do something
yeah.
under those circumstances. Because
mm-hmm.
I did not misrepresent. I mean, like, I used the information. I mean, I used the NSF proposal as
mm-hmm.
blueprint. And in fact, like, I had the day that the student complaint
mm-hmm.
came forward, Tom sent me an email with a goal for the next NSF round.
Mm-hmm.
I have all that documented.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's just like, you know, and that was after I got, and after AT&T told me they would donate money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got the goal from them in September.
Mm-hmm.
The student complaint was October 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like, when I talked with them, all these kind of, they okay for it. It's just like then they had, I had to fill out an official form with them, and then they had a committee there in AT&T that kind of like signed off on it, and then they had the check ready for us in December.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen all that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've read through a lot of the,
because that's a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Well, let me see what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's anything, but let me see.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I would tell you, because I think it would be worse for you if you did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just thought I'll explain to them what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a retaliation by my boss,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't really work with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just tell them, you know, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, all these plans, I mean, I couldn't do anything during spring semester under circumstances.
No,
I mean, I got a letter from my chair who says, you know, I don't have his support.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing was really damaging too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, you know, I had the UW Systems pre-proposal I sent in November 9th. It was due November 9th. I sent it in, and they approved me for, and they, in fact, they contacted me later and says, why didn't you send in
mm-hmm.
your proposal
mm-hmm.
for the systems grant?
Mm-hmm.
And I says, like, well, you know, I didn't tell them the reason. I said, like, you know, there were all the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But they said I had a very good shot
mm-hmm.
for a systems grant.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got the pre-proposal approval, Tom said, oh, great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really kind of, he stabbed me in the back
mm-hmm.
when he wrote this very damaging letter.
Right.
And this troop acted on it,
mm-hmm.
on the talks. And all this, I mean, like, I didn't even write the press release. AT&T did it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, it wasn't even my words, you know,
mm-hmm.
how did I misrepresent anything? I didn't
mm-hmm.
even write this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was in class. They sent it to me on Wednesday evening. I told them I can't look at it until Thursday
mm-hmm.
Because I have to prepare class. My students come
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it an email. It's just like, in the evening, I'm working my things. I have a group project
mm-hmm.
for. I have two back-to-back classes. I mean, I started teaching at 9:30, and I taught until 12:20.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 8-minute break between those two classes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have time to really work on it. All I did in the morning was they asked for the press release, they wanted the room, which room we're in. And then I said, we want to send it to the chancellor's office so they can read over it and see whether they're okay with it, mm-hmm. and the dean's office. That's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
I just told them, like, this is where it is, this is the room where it is,
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
passed it on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told them, you know, like, this is too short notice for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything right
mm-hmm.
now. And honestly, I didn't have any experience how to put, you know, an official check presentation together either.
Right.
I've never done it
right.
before. So, and they, you know, because they came in for the cybercrime class, for the current topic cybercrime class. We thought, like, you know, I told them this is probably the best time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to
I was
come.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you saw that. So, I didn't write this. I didn't misrepresent anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, in fact, even for the donation request, and I had, I gave access to the account, the AT&T account where I filled it out for the donation, had the foundation
mm-hmm.
person, station limit,
mm-hmm.
and then Kathy Lomax,
mm-hmm.
also had from Sponsored Program, because I asked her to look over it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be super correct, so I had, you know, I didn't promise anything, and that they wanted anything from, it really was just like to get started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you cannot build a program getting money for some books, getting
mm-hmm.
travel, going to conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody expected that, but it was with the goal to kind of
mm-hmm.
have a, you know, eventually a cybercrime project. I had to call it something,
mm-hmm.
and I called it a cybercrime project before,
mm-hmm.
and it never got, we shouldn't call it that. I never got it. I mean, in all the email exchange, it always had that in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't get what the problem was the warning.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that wasn't the proper wording, I could have changed it before. I don't care about the wording. I just want to get something in place
mm-hmm.
for our students.
Mm-hmm.
That was really my motivation. And that's why it was so devastating for me. Because
mm-hmm.
I felt like all the work I put in for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the one conference and we got some funding. There was another thing where I then asked AT&T whether we can get some of the money from that account for the American Academy of Forensic Sciences, where I had two of my students present, and they had from forensics that students go to, they didn't present, but they got money. They got money from CJ, they got money from FI, they got money from LA&E, and I didn't know until my students came to me and they complained. They said, we talked to them. Why did they get money from three funds and we didn't?
Mm-hmm.
We just got $200 from criminal justice, that's it. And they didn't get any from LA&E. And they were very, very disappointed, very upset. And I had to deal with them. I had a dad call me all mad
mm-hmm.
because, you know, like, he deals with the big, you know, credit
mm-hmm.
card bill from his son.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I didn't promise him anything, but I said, you know, like, we can put in for an LNE and put in for stuff. And then Tom's thing was, well, you know, we never presented, we never gone to two conferences in a row. It's like, what the heck is that? I mean, like, it doesn't say anywhere you can't
mm-hmm.
go to more than one conference.
Right.
And FI stayed, Diana Johnson stayed there the entire week. We stayed two nights. We stayed in a hotel that was half as expensive as the FI people stayed in a hotel that was twice as expensive. So we cut it short as possible. And at the same time, we made contacts with the National Defense University.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a speaker come out here and speak here for free.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have an opportunity for paid internships at that university. This is President Obama
mm-hmm.
did his big terrorism analysis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very neat university.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like on mini special clearance to get in, and I got two of my students in. So, I mean, I was part of it. So our 2 days were very packed.
Mm-hmm.
I think we accomplished a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hard then not to get funding for them.
But you, I mean, because typically you would secure funding before you would go.
And I did. I sent it in before. There was one thing I talked to Mary, and she said, like, there was this one fund, and I asked, you know, like, our time is, she said, as long as you submit it before, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. And so it was approved?
it was, she just said, like, I have to submit it, I have to submit the grant proposal before, and I got that email from her.
Mary Nick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have to go through an application process to get funding from the college?
I did, that was the application process. I filled it out, and she said, as long as I get it in before we leave, I'm fine.
That it would be considered?
Mm-hmm.
Or that it would be funded?
Well, I asked whether we can get funding for it, and she says, like, this is one fund, but I have to submit for it before we leave. That's how it was explained to me.
Okay.
I mean, like, I was able to get some money from AT&T for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, they weren't satisfied. But it was just, it was like pulling teeth to get something for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem I had, that there was money for FI, but not
mm-hmm.
for my students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was part of, you know, like, I mean, at first, Tom said, like, no, you don't get anything from CJ.
Mm-hmm.
And then Diana wanted to bring her students, and then because he had gave her money,
mm-hmm.
he had to give my students money too. But only then I got money.
Mm-hmm.
My first request was no.
Mm-hmm.
There is money in the account because then you have a CJ Foundation account, there is money for stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never used it
mm-hmm.
because we never go to conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like that, you know.
Like there's not
yeah.
money there.
Mm-hmm. But most of the money, what I learned too, has been funded in, I mean, funneled into the FI program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's money also for our CJ students.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 2/3 of the students are CJ,
mm-hmm.
and not FI, or even more than 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like the way it's distributed, it's very biased.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like for all of our programs to shine.
Right. Well, I mean, the hope is that if you have different leadership, that that some of this will be addressed strictly
mm-hmm.
because you'll have someone else with whom there's not this history or this bias. Let me see if someone, and I don't know who that person would be, but if someone tried to redress the issue of we're concerned about AT&T and your
mm-hmm.
reputation,
mm-hmm.
would you then feel like you could let this go and you could move forward with
that Mr. Project? Certainly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I, at this point, with what was said, I don't want to touch the money, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Not with what was said.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very uncomfortable. I mean, doing it. I have students who do individual projects with me,
mm-hmm.
and I've been supportive. I mean, like I have one student who's now double majoring
mm-hmm.
in criminal justice and computer science,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to work on a director study with me, and I do this with him because, you know, like, I do it for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm an advisor for, you know, a new student club here too, and that we've gotten a lot of new requests. I mean, this is a growing club, and they're not in competition to CJA at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, like, they timed it so that, you know, they don't have it at the same time, and there's some members in both clubs. The new for defense intelligence and counterterrorism, they focus on research.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually give presentations at their meetings. So they work on projects themselves. So they really have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing what they've been doing. And they have guest speakers,
mm-hmm.
and they move in, get them in this themselves. But it's a work group.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really neat. So their hopes are to also prepare students for grad school.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two who want to go to grad school here now because of that.
Good.
And that's why, you know, like, you know, with Cheryl Fuller, we kind of looked at which courses. I mean, there's Homeland Security too, and when I talk to police departments, you know, cybercrime and Homeland Security are on a very top list. I asked them what they would like to see us do. I did not
mm-hmm.
you know, impose my ideas. I'm going with where the demand is. This is just like, fits in very nicely with my work background.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, I went into, I mean, I came with this kind of work background to the United States, and at that time with terrorism and cybersecurity, it was in the very beginning stages, and terrorism wasn't really an issue. So I got into cultural diversity training, and this is kind of my other forte. I mean, I built the cultural diversity training for California, for the State Commission in California. I built it for, this is for the law enforcement training. That was my project, and became my dissertation. And that's what I taught. And this is still my passion, too. So I'm not leaving that out either, so. But, you know, now that it's all become a big problem, that was like, you know, after 9/11, suddenly, like, who do we have?
Right.
You can teach this stuff. And then it became very interesting.
Well, I mean, I can see that it would be, that there would be a demand, and that it might be a viable area of growth for criminal justice, but it has to be something that fits into the departments and the college's plan for where they're going in the future.
No, absolutely. I mean, there are other courses too that I want to support. I mean, restorative justice could be one that would be really neat. I mean, like I've done this now, and I shared it then with Ed Ross and with Rex Reed, restorative justice, and I offered Rex Reed to be part of it, and he was very interested. Because it's not my thing. I want this kind of like to be one of the areas that, and who knows, maybe that could be an emphasis one day, restorative justice.
Yeah.
I think that's a great need.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be certainly not my forte. I mean, even though right now I'm the only one who's really pushing it forward, there was just nobody else jumped on it, so I didn't want to lose it for our school.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want this program to kind of start growing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's white collar crime is a big one,
mm-hmm.
that I think it's we cannot leave out. We definitely have, you know, there's organized crime, there's gangs, there's so many areas.
What I keep hearing is a disconnect between what you and I are saying to one another is you want this program to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be approved
mm-hmm.
before you can grow it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I understand. These would be ideas to kind of discuss on department level.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I would not grow them or build them myself.
Okay.
It's just like we have not grown anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the courses are all the same.
Well, it's clear. I mean, I read the paper that Joe Lomax wrote after he retired.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
His vision.
Yeah.
That he had. Yeah.
And I think that's something that the department needs to sit down and really discuss about what they think their emphasis is and where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think, I mean, it all sounded very exciting to me in terms
mm-hmm.
of looking at crime prevention,
mm-hmm.
Restorative justice.
Mm-hmm.
More of a humane approach to
yeah, even like what Amy Nimitz kind of like started, I think would be neat,
mm-hmm.
and I thought what she pursued was very interesting,
mm-hmm.
and would have fit in very well. But it's another thing. I mean, she applied for the one position too, and
mm-hmm.
they tell us that she doesn't meet the qualifications, which
and
is
actually
important.
I was thinking
I really
at that
don't
time.
Get.
It was a research position.
No, yeah, for the research, I understand,
mm-hmm.
because we got somebody with the research. This is for the most recent one.
Oh.
She applied.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We had two failed searches.
Mm-hmm.
One was search chaired by, the second one chaired by Lauren Gibson, and the other one by Eric Dutel, and they both failed.
Mm-hmm.
It was still kind of, I guess it was sent out again by human resources.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy Nimitz was one of them who applied.
And what was the position?
It's not for research. It's not pure research. I think it may have something like teach partially too,
mm-hmm.
Just to have somebody who can,
mm-hmm.
but it's more general.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the courses is also like that I've been teaching on police function.
Mm-hmm.
She applied, there were two people who applied, and both of them, Eric, said like, oh, the one we can look at, but he probably wants more money, and then Amy Nimitz does not meet the qualifications. I feel like it doesn't. If you look, I mean, she does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the job advertisement, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Sweet looked at it, and he did not like the male so much, but he said, like, Amy meets the requirements. And then I've never heard from it again. I just said, like, both meet, I think we should look at both. I didn't say we should hire one, but I said we should look.
Right.
I mean, like, great if they apply. I mean, we are so understaffed.
Right.
You know, like, let's look at them. But I think because Eric didn't want to, nothing happens. Just like with the one candidate, even we have half, it didn't go anywhere either. And I don't think we can afford failed searches anymore.
No.
I mean, we have people with a bachelor's degree teach. It's just not right.
Right.
And you know, I've been trying. I mean, when I did my search, when I chaired it, I had 12 candidates who were qualified. And we had 4 common campus, and we ended up having 3 who all could have taken the position. They all wanted to. So, and now we don't seem to be able to fill anything anymore. I don't know what's going on. So I wanted to chair one, and you know, I wasn't allowed to. So
I think that will change.
Yeah, I hope so, because, I mean, and this is kind of like in an ESSA department, but, you know, what you said too, you know, that we have to talk and we have to get approval and stuff. We never got that for FI, for any of the FI courses, by the way. So, I mean, like, they just draw up and they are there, and there's never a talk about it at all. I want to talk because I want to, you know, I don't want to be so responsible for it. This is one thing, because I think it's very dangerous if we make it as, you know, like as a personal thing. It has to be carried by the department.
Right.
And we have to discuss also, like, who can teach it or can be part of it and how often it's been taught. Where the needs are, and how we can revise some of the courses.
Right.
I think there's a great need for it.
Okay. Well, let me see what I can do about the AT&T thing. Again, I can't promise you anything.
Thank you.
I will talk to Liz about moving your office. And I'm going to ask Jean Dewar. So I know we have other professors on campus who write textbooks, and I'm not sure if there are any guidelines or policies regarding requiring your students to I don't know how that works. Like, it does seem to be a conflict of interest if you're the one choosing the book.
That's why I haven't done it. There was one thing that I did extra in an offer that Michelle Merkowitz wrote with me, and we have an offer for publishing it, but that's as a joint thing, and I want it to benefit her. So I mean, this is something. I mean, like basically what I've been learned in grad school, I would like to apply something like this to our undergraduate program, kind of like the mentoring and kind of like getting students ready for research. I mean, making them hungry for graduate school. So this is kind of my goal. And I think one thing is, and I tell my students over and over, just because you're an undergraduate doesn't mean you can't go to conferences. And our students in Chicago, they were in Washington, they were mistaken for grad students.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, they did a really, really good job.
That's great.
And one actually was asked, well, how long have you been teaching? So,
oh, really?
So this is really cool. So,
yeah. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Minnie.
Thank you.